focus on cloud, colocation, data center industry trends, the dynamic market.
Well, I'm David Liggett with Data Center Hawk, and I'm really excited to be joined by INAP President and CEO Mike Sicoli. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. It's great to see you.
Thank you, David.
So before we get started, I'd just love to spend a few minutes hearing about your background. How did you get into the data center industry?
It's a good question. One that I ask myself from time to time. I guess I would consider myself a little bit of like a telecom and infrastructure mutt. I've seen so many different angles. I started my career in wireless, actually, at Nextel. And then I saw the cable industry, fiber, enterprise networking, co-location. It's almost the only thing I haven't really done in this space is probably satellite. So I've seen the different angles of telecom and telecom infrastructure, internet infrastructure. It's always been really interesting to me because it's the plumbing behind, you know, pretty much everything that's cool. And nobody really thinks about it that way. But, you know, when you see great things happening across different industries, different countries, so much of it relies on the infrastructure that we provide. So I've always found that to be really interesting, particularly seeing what our customers do with that infrastructure, you know, the innovations, the problems they solve in the world. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, especially during the pandemic, it became, I think, much more evident and maybe clear to people that were going, hey, our world is changing like today. And how are we going to keep businesses going? And so it was really, you know, exciting to see companies like INAP and others, you know, serve our world.
Business is going, life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right on. I mean, it was fascinating to see that. Well, you've been at INAP now for about 2.5 years in this, CEO and leadership position. What was it about INAP and the company that attracted you to want to take that role?
Yeah, initially, from the outside looking in, I saw great assets and great people. I also saw a great combination of products and services. You know, as the world moves more to this sort of hybrid model, you know, we have our roots in networking and then added colocation and cloud services. And I thought that was a really interesting approach. And I felt like the market didn't really fully appreciate the value that these assets could bring to the table. And the main issue that I saw was a bad capital structure. Had too much debt. And so we fixed that by going through bankruptcy last year. And so just the idea that I could take over this collection of assets with a fixed balance sheet and you know, turn everything around into a growth situation. That's what was interesting to me. I thought we had all the raw materials. I just thought fix the capital structure and, you know, get back to basics in terms of how we go to market and how we do what we do and we'll grow.
That's good. So I want to come back to the hybrid colocation and cloud discussion because I think that is a differentiator and really interesting. But, you know, you mentioned bringing, you know, the company through bankruptcy and getting the balance sheet set right. What was that process like? I mean, and like then and like now where you are and maybe talk about kind of how that feels and your thought process moving forward.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I'd want to do it again.
Yeah.
Any stretch. Last year was a tough year, right? It wasn't just bankruptcy. We filed for bankruptcy on March 13th, I think, which was right at the, you know, middle of the hype of COVID, right? So we got in and out bankruptcy fairly quickly because it was what's called a prepackaged bankruptcy, meaning we negotiated in advance with our lenders and stakeholders about how we were going to do this so we could minimize the amount of time we were in bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is always very disruptive to a company, to employees and customers. And even though the U.S. bankruptcy laws are really good about keeping a business going throughout that process, it's never great, you know, to declare bankruptcy and have to go through the process. So we wanted to keep it as short as possible, which we did. We were in and out within about 2 months, which is, you know, almost unheard of.
Sure.
Quickly. But it speaks to how supportive our lenders were. And, you know, some of the things I said a second ago about they saw the same potential I did, and we just needed to fix the balance sheet and get out as quickly as possible. Then you've got COVID. Then you've got all the social and political stuff last year.
Yeah.
Not fun to be a leader, probably of any business. Mm-hmm. It really highlighted for us, like when you have to make change happen, when you're trying to change the culture, and you're trying to fix things that have been broken for a while, it's very hard to do that over Zoom. Yeah. And so the pandemic really made it extra challenging, I think. But I'm really proud of the team in terms of, you know, we made the best with what we had. And I really do feel like we were able to change the culture and bring energy back to the company. And so, you know, I would say it's a success. Obviously, we still have lots of things that we want to do here and continue to fix and grow. But in terms of what we set out to accomplish with the bankruptcy process, I would say, you know, we did, in fact, accomplish the goals.
Yeah, and that's, you know, impressive on a number of fronts. You know, you mentioned the portfolio of data centers as well as the customers and the services within them. You know, from my perspective, we've seen data center users really start to continue to value cloud services more and more as business has changed. And you all are in this role where you can offer multiple service offerings, not just around like the network that you mentioned, not just around colocation, but also around cloud. Maybe talk to us about why that's so important today. You know, why is it so important to be able to offer the you know, multiple service levels?
Yeah, well, the world is hybrid, right? And we're actually still on the front end of this migration to hybrid. I still think the majority of workloads are actually on-prem. Mm-hmm. Enterprise standpoint, and when they leave the premise, where are they going? You know, they used to be that most of them went to colocation. Now, you know, there's a series of private cloud alternatives for them, and public cloud is obviously, you know, a significant alternative. You know, the not every workload though is destined for public cloud, and not every workload, even if it goes there, is going to stay there. There's many use cases and reasons why. Costs being another one, why, you know, customers need to think twice about just blindly moving everything to public. Mm-hmm. I think the world's going to be hybrid forever, and may even settle into a place where, you know, there's actually more that's not in public cloud than people are thinking. The majority, I think, will end up in public cloud. Don't get me wrong, but I do think a sizable chunk of workloads are not going to be in public cloud. And so the trick then is, how do you help customers navigate this world where they're going to be in multi-cloud and hybrid cloud environments? You know, almost every company on earth is going to have some public cloud exposure. But for those that have also non-public cloud infrastructure, how do you make that work well? And by having multiple services, you know, I mentioned that we cut our teeth in global networking. Mm-hmm. Have one of the most, you know, compelling, you know, high performance IP services in and out of data centers all over the world. And then we added colocation, and then we added the cloud services. And within cloud, our primary product is bare metal, but we also have some private cloud services as well. And, you know, so basically we have everything except for public cloud. And so we're a great, you know, destination for a customer who knows that, you know, they're either, you know, on a journey to public cloud or on a journey to hybrid. And by doing business with a company like ours, everything other than the public cloud piece, we can sort of cover their needs. And mm-hmm. and those needs change over time. So we have plenty of customers who actually start as co-location customers and then, you know, kind of shift to become much more of a private cloud customer or vice versa. You know, none of these decisions are, you know, binary or fixed or irrevocable. What makes sense today absolutely may not make sense tomorrow in terms of the way customers design their infrastructure. I mean, every single day, you know, there's more apps, there's more data, there's more content, like, and you know, things change, cost models change. So we, you know, really pride ourselves on being, you know, trying to be scrappy and nimble and flexible. And since we have the full suite, we kind of have you covered, you know, with all of those angles. Other providers, you know, if you're just colo or just network or just cloud, you know, you're just a piece of the puzzle. We can provide them all.
Yeah. And, in the world of, I think, businesses needing flexibility, I think that's a message that certainly I would imagine gets a lot of interesting discussions started. I saw that y'all recently announced a high performance guarantee, and I think it kind of speaks to some of the things that you were talking about, but kind of help us understand what that is and the value behind that, that guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think the hardest job, in all of enterprise world is the CIO or the person in charge of the IT infrastructure. Because of what I said a second ago, it's too much, right? It's all coming at you. Everybody wants another app. Every app consumes more data. Then you've got security and mobility and all of this stuff layered on top, and it's changing every single day. It's very hard for an IT decision maker to sort of make the right call and stick with it, because these are not decisions that take 5 minutes to implement. Like, IT infrastructure can take months.
Yeah.
There's years.
Yeah.
To play out. And so, we're sensitive to how hard that is. And we're trying to make it easier for our customers to embrace this hybrid world by saying, look, just choose INAP and, you will have the flexibility, to move your spend around, across products, across locations. And you can do that with confidence, because in addition to our very generous portability clauses in our contracts, we're also stepping up to a performance guarantee that says, if we don't meet your expectations, you can leave without a penalty. Mm-hmm. So many of the other larger infrastructure players in our space, I feel like they, it's almost like a gotcha they play with customers, where they lock you into this 3-5 longer year contract and you can never leave, even if they suck. And what we're saying is, we're so confident in our ability to perform for you that, we'll give you an out if you're not happy with the performance of our services. And that plus the, expert advice that we have, because we have been in this hybrid world for a really long time, and the company's 25 years old. So, we have that expertise, and we also have the spend portability. So between those things, the performance guarantee, the expertise, and the spend portability, we feel like we have a really compelling offer for these IT decision makers whose job is really hard.
Yeah, and it changes. And when it changes, you need people that understand that change and can facilitate, infrastructure that supports that.
And hopefully even, help the IT decision maker stay ahead of the change. Hey, I have a customer over here that's in a business like yours. I just saw them do this. Have you thought about that? Bringing those ideas to the table, I think, again, a lot of infrastructure providers kind of sit back, mm-hmm. and just wait for the customer to make decisions. We're trying to be more proactive with our customers and add a lot of value to the relationship. I want them to be excited when they talk about their relationship with INAP instead of just another vendor.
Yeah. And I think if I read it right, you can do dollar for dollar portability with colocation and cloud, and then also geographic portability from a spend perspective. Is that right?
It is. And it's a little nerve wracking for us, because obviously our cost structure is different across different things. But at the end of the day, we find a way to make that
work. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Well, that's a really interesting value proposition to, businesses that are trying to keep up with and plan for what they think, the future is, which is, as you know, and I know, a very hard thing to do. But if we're thinking about the future, just as an industry, one of the questions I love to ask, people that are leading companies like you would be, when you think about our industry, what do you think are some of the challenges that we are facing, moving forward?
Yeah, look, we're in tier one markets. So we're in a street fight every day, competition wise.
Sure.
It's very competitive, but stepping back from that, looking longer term, at the entire industry, we talked about public cloud a second ago. That's really the biggest sort of threat or thing to be concerned about, as a provider of services other than public cloud. So in order to make sure you stay relevant, we all have to make sure that we're making the hybrid experience as easy to consume as possible for the customer. Today, it's still pretty kludgy. I mean, we're all working on automation and APIs and more self-service capability for our users to, you know, move workloads that drag and drop and spin up this and, you know, turn down that without having to talk to people and going through like a long provisioning cycle on things. Mm-hmm. You know, and for us to succeed, and as I mentioned, like not everything's going to public cloud. So there's plenty of room for us to still grow, even though public cloud's going to grow more. But those who succeed have to figure out how to embrace that hybrid world and make the services work more seamlessly across platforms. That we spend a lot of time, you know, our whole roadmap right now is around automation and customer self-service.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's interesting. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because the other thing we're all wrestling with, which is a good thing, is, you know, how to play edge, you know, with 5G and IoT as the big driver, but there's other things driving it. You know, edge is going to be, you know, a really helpful thing for our industry as well, because again, only so much of that makes sense to be in public cloud. You know, a lot of that doesn't, you know, you really need to be at the edge. And even the public cloud providers are, you know, taking down what I would call hyperscale edge, you know, deployments as well in different cities, so that, you know, they don't need a 50 megawatt facility. They might only need 1 or 2 megawatts, and that's good for companies like us.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest misconceptions that we'll get at, or we'll hear a lot, is around, hey, if public cloud continues to grow, you know, will just the data center colocation industry or, you know, go away? And what we've said is it's the opposite. I mean, as that group grows, their needs are so large and they're changing every day that they have network requirements that, you know, 10 years ago might have been 100 kW. Now they're 1 to 2, 3 megawatts, you know, and so they're placing those in cities and in places where companies like INAP and others have deployments that can quickly meet those needs.
For sure. And there's also plenty of other, you know, providers, software providers or digital businesses, you know, that have complex, you know, distributed infrastructure needs as well. And, you know, there's plenty of non-hyperscale,
sure,
you know, buyers of half a megawatt and megawatt, you know, deployments as well. And that's just going to keep growing.
So when you think about, you know, just the overall industry in the future, what gets you most excited?
I think, you know, just that growth and innovation that we were talking about before. It's not like, where else are you going to look where there's just unequivocal, you know, consensus about hyper growth? Mm-hmm. You know, as I said, you know, what apps, data, content, like it's all growing exponentially and it all needs infrastructure in order to do that successfully. And, you know, all of the cool things, all of the cool innovations in our world, you know, leverage that infrastructure. And particularly as you look at 5G and IoT and artificial intelligence, like, I can't even describe the degree to which like the requirements and data needs are growing exponentially. And so, you know, that's why there's so much smart money coming into the space. Right. And, you know, that there's a fear almost that we won't be able to keep up with,
sure,
that. And as opposed to that, there won't be enough demand for our services. So that's what's exciting to me.
Yeah, and I think we share the same perspective. I think just when you think about industries and even as you look back over the last year and see how much the data center industry grew in the middle of a very challenging season for our world, you know, I think from an industry perspective, it was really encouraging, and the future, you know, looks encouraging as well. So, Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and talk. We really appreciate it. If you want to learn more about INAP, it's inap.com. And Mike Sicoli, President and CEO, thanks again for joining us. Great to see you.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.